Blog Talk Radio.
Because of reliance shall break every chain. Conquering lion shall break every chain. Give him the victory again and again.
Power. It's your host, Brother Drew X. We're calling off that Black Nation Task Force Radio, which is our sister station to our Black Militia Nation. All right, y'all, tonight we're just going to listen to a lecture by one of our brothers and comrades, one of my recruits from the past, Brother Dr. Maurice X. We're going to listen to a broadcast tonight, very interesting topic. Topic tonight, what if black men start killing white men? Oh, yeah, that's the topic. You know, we just rebroadcasting a broadcast. That's all it is. So, hey, to all the brothers, just want to bring you some revolutionary style messages outsourcing tonight. All right, y'all, let's get into it.
So much has changed from traditionalism, the traditions that we do need. Traditions that we have needed in the past and in our present, and we'll need these positions in the future. But so much has changed. So much has changed today, and I say that because these changes and these trying times that we're going through are having an awesome effect on the present and our future. So many things are going on around us, brothers and sisters. We need something that is permanent. We need something that is positive. And we need something that is constant or sturdy today. That's what you and I need. We need that to keep us going on. The thing that you and I pray for, it's the thing that we should want. These things that are going on around us are unstable. So we're very hopeful for something stable, very hopeful for something something permanent, very hopeful for something constant in our lives. What is happening to us today? What's happening around us today is a better question. We have so many things that are going on around us. You and I have so many things that are going on. Just to speak of some of the things that are going on around us, or some things that are happening in the country today, young lady, if you haven't heard about it, you probably will hear about it. A young lady that was put over by the police said that the car that her boyfriend had had a lot of warrants to it, and so the young lady was obedient and pulled over so that she could talk to the police. She talked to, pulled over so she could speak with them. Policemen began to break all kinds of laws. You know how they do. You know how they do. They break all kinds of laws when it comes to black folks. So he broke all kinds of laws, started searching the young lady's car. She wanted to search and see if the person that had the warrants was inside the car. Then when he discovers that the person that had the warrants were not in the car, and at that point, he began to harass her. So at the point that he harassed her, things began to escalate. And this just happened in Tennessee. So many of you may not have seen the video. You will see it. I know you're going to search for it. But the young lady stopped as normal so that the police could do whatever he was doing. And he began to do an illegal search and seizure. So she couldn't do anything about that. So she just called someone. You could see her talking and asking someone to pick her up because she was going to be taken down to the police station. And so she gets ready to be taken down to the police station. And the police, without warning, had started trying to arrest her. Now, understand, the warrant that he was searching for had nothing to do with her. Nothing at all. Had she been white, he probably would have let her go. It was illegal for him to search her car anyway. Let's be plain about that. But you know, when you're black and a police pull up, he's already charged because he's not going to give you the same rights that your white counterparts or your white friends, if you have any. I don't know any black person that really has any white friends, but if you have any, then I guess it applies to you. So he wouldn't have done that had she been white. He wouldn't have done it. But this is a black lady who has no rights. She's treating her like she has no rights. She's violating her in all sorts of ways. And then this devil decides to put her in handcuffs. So at that point, you can see a total change. A total change because she's running away from him. She said, help me. She's crying out to someone around her. She has no place to go. So she's begging for help. She's in desperate need of help. She's praying that somebody would help her. And there's no one around to come to her rescue. So the young lady has a gun. She has a gun inside of the car. And I want to make sure that I get this in the right order, you see, because it was all a surprise to me as well. But she has a gun in the car, and she takes the gun, removes the gun from wherever it was. She takes it, she removes it, and she goes for this police. Now, brothers and sisters, I have to tell you, I was shocked. I was happy for her that she stood out to defend herself, but I was certainly shocked because I didn't believe, really didn't have any anticipation, I should say, that black people today would stand up to defend themselves, that anyone, because we have so many instances where individuals are mistreated by police. So I didn't have any idea of what was going to happen or what was going on. I had no idea. And consequently, the young lady had grabbed the gun. She's going to defend herself. And it just seemed like that at that point, my spirits raised. She's going to defend herself. She's not going to take this. And she's not going to go to the jail to be killed. Because you know, at the arrest, he was going to take her to jail and kill her. That's what they're doing. They're taking us to jail. They're killing us. They're killing us outside the road. They're killing us in front of businesses. They're shooting us down in police cars. Killing us in the police cars, killing us in our own car. So this devil got the most awesome surprise of his life. I mean, he got a real surprise. Because when he came in on that sister, it happened the way he thought it was going to happen. Sister emptied her clip, threw the gun out the on the ground, which I would have done that. I would have kept that. Well, it may not have been hers. So they can't track it, but hopefully ballistics don't pick up a fingerprint. The sister got out of there. She was able to rescue herself. She pulled off in the car to safety, I pray. I pray that she pulled off in the car to safety. That's my prayer. Hopefully she didn't go to the hospital, because if she's going to go or was trying to find any place that could finish the job, white doctors in the hospital would do it. And that's what I guess what I want to talk with you about today. We have to have something constant in our lives. And I want to talk about that. I want to talk about our unity, and I want to talk about our religion. And I don't care what religion you are. I want to use the example of my own religion in hopes and prayer that you would study and research and develop or find out what your religion is, or what you believe, or what's going to better suit you in our time today. So the subject I picked for today, and I don't know if it's showing on the board or not, the subject that I picked for today is Islam, Chrislam, or Hislam. Why am I saying that? We need something that is traditional. And I believe that we've gotten off the traditional track, even Muslims. I believe that we've gotten off the traditional track. We were on the traditional track, but we're no longer on the traditional track now. So I believe that we've gotten off the beaten path, and I believe that, unfortunately, that even the Nation of Islam have gotten off the beaten path, because we look that the nation today is nothing like the nation 20 years ago, or I should say 30 years ago. The nation today is nothing like the nation 30 years ago. The Farrakhan today is nothing like the Farrakhan 30 years ago, if you do the math, if you care to do the math. It's not like it was, because at that time, I should say almost 40 years ago, because at the ousting of Dr. Khalid Muhammad, Honorable Minister Dr. Khalid Muhammad, when you go back to the time that he was put out, then that's when the changes could take place, because he himself was an old-fashioned Muslim, with old-fashioned Muslim teaching, like the old Malcolm X prior to Mecca, and in the teachings of the Nation of Islam. So when we get to the Honorable Dr. Khalid Muhammad, we say, brother, that is fierce on keeping tradition, the keeping things the way they've been, the way that they work best in the black community, to keep it that way. And the Nation of Islam at that time was like that. It was no different. The old minister of Farrakhan, the old honorable minister of Farrakhan, Louis Farrakhan, was a teacher likened unto Malcolm, was a teacher likened unto the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, a teacher with the knowledge and understanding of Master Farah Muhammad. This was a Camelot time for the Nation of Islam at that time. It was a Camelot time for the Nation of Islam. And we don't see that nation. We don't see it today. Unfortunately, we don't see that nation today. Because I think that when we talk about the Nation of Islam as it was in its beginning and as it was at its zenith or its most powerful state, we talk about a nation that talked about separation. The poor black people in telling them to do for sales. Open your own business. Congregate amongst yourself. Don't be divided by religion. So a Muslim could go to a Christian church and a Christian could go to a Muslim church. That was no problem. Because the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad said that a good Muslim is a good Christian and a good Christian is a good Muslim. And that was the teaching at that time. That was the teaching at that time and of that time. So we move to a different time now. We move to a very different time. The time that we move to now is nothing like the time that we came from when you talk about the Nation of Islam. So you might say that there is a denomination that we have witnessed under the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, a new denomination under the guise or under the religion of Islam. So it's almost like the Gospels. Each of them had seen the Master. They spoke and talked about the Master in their own understanding, in their own way. So when you see, when you look in the Bible, you have the Gospel according to St. Mark. You have the Gospel according to St. Luke. You have the Gospel according to St. Matthew and the Gospel according to St. John. When you look in the Gospel, they're writing the Gospel according to them. How they can relate it to their own, as far as their own understanding, or how they can receive it unto their own understanding. All of them had seen the Master. All of them had walked and worked with the Master, but each of them had to spew out, so to speak, this knowledge, this revelation that they had received according to their own understanding. What am I saying, brothers and sisters? That when you deviate, then you're teaching according to your own understanding. It's a perspective that you give. And if you don't teach the lesson exactly how the Master taught it, explain it exactly how the Master explained it, then at that point you're given a perspective. And that perspective of the Gospel that you receive is according to you. It's according unto you. So, for instance, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad told us that all white people are the devil, and I believe him. Doesn't matter how much they smile on your face or how much they pretend to be your friend or feel like that they're your friend, because I think that some white people are really fooling themselves into thinking that they can trick their own spirits that are racist and ingrained in racism and puffed in racism and raised in racism from a baby spirit to an adult spirit. These are spirits that are guarding these evil carcasses, the body of these devils. The spirit that they have inside of them is what they witness through white privilege coming up through the ranks, so to speak, or growing up in white communities in a nation that is literally plated with racism, hatred, and a history of racism and hatred. So brothers and sisters, when we see this, we begin to see, understand, witness and research what we are experiencing today, we understand that the white man hasn't changed. He hasn't changed. He's still the oppressor. The only thing the devil does is fine-tune his knowledge. But it don't change. And see, we have to understand that we have to have something that doesn't change. So your religion or whatever you're in, I pray that if you're a Christian, that you're teaching black liberation theology, that you're a black liberation theologist in your Christianity. That's my prayer. That's my prayer. That if you are Muslim, that you are teaching that. That you are black, liberated Muslim. That's my prayer. That whatever religion that you're in, that is constant to you. And I hope it's something that tells you or show you the white man for who he actually is. The devil of this planet, the destroyer of everything good, a damager, because that's what he is. He can't change it. There's nothing that he can change. No matter how hard he tries, he can't change it, because he can only do and he can only be exactly what he is. You have to understand that. There are those of us that already know it. You got to understand it. And I don't care what you do, how nice you are, how exceptional you think you are, it will never be different. Because that man is the same and has been the same. The situation is the same. And when he put you in slavery, he meant business. Put you in slavery. He meant business. Man wasn't walk around playing. He wasn't playing with you. He meant business. Exactly that. So you have to mean business in whatever you're in, your religion. I said I would use mine. For me, it's the Nation of Islam. For me. And so I have to have, it's almost like having a clean glass of water and a dirty glass of water. Or a full glass and a half full glass. You have to make up for what your expectation is when you have deviated. But if you start out with a full clean glass of water and a full clean glass prior to the water, then you don't have to make up for anything. You don't have to be careful about anything. There's nothing that you have to do except intake or ingest the water or drink the water. That's all you have to do. And what am I using water for? Because the water is life, brothers and sisters. In the nation, in the Christian churches, and wherever it may, wherever your church may be, wherever your religious institution may be, water is life. But the Muslim temple is certainly life. It's what we need, brothers and sisters. It's what we must have. It's what we should stay close to and never get away from, because the water is life. For you and I, the water is life. And we have to understand that. You will never get any justice from a man, whether he be black or white. But in this case, especially the white man, you will never get any justice. I don't understand why so many people are afraid of this white man. What are you afraid for? He can't do anything for you. Nothing that the white man can do for you. And everything that he can do, he's already done. If you say that the white man is killing me, he can't kill you because you're already dead. The black man is already dead. If you decide that there's no plan, then you'll never rise. Brothers and sisters, it's time for you and I to stand up. We've got to stand up now. We've got to have some kind of understanding. We've got to have some kind of understanding today for what's real and what's foundational and what's going to keep us. And something that's going to allow us to defend ourselves. I wouldn't want to be a part of any religion that doesn't allow me to defend myself. I wouldn't want to be a part of it. I would not want to be a part of it. If it doesn't allow me to defend myself, I don't want to be a part of it. If it doesn't allow me to speak my mind, I don't want to be a part of it. And you and I have got to get wise enough today, and have got to get serious enough today to bring about our own liberation, our own freedom. Some understanding. Because we have to understand that one person can do something, and they can make a dent or make you think, but all of us together can put knock something in your head. We can put something in your head. So when you take the oppression and the adversity and the physical population of the white racist man against the black man, when you take that and you match it against a serious, united, religious, political black man who's willing to fight for himself, you'll find out that that white man's going to back down. Because the only way that he can conquer you is that he divide you and come through one of you, your organization, and turn you one against the other. That's what he does. He's not only doing it here in America, but he's doing it all over the place, in Africa, in China, in Europe. I mean, every place he goes. That's why for the first time in history, everybody is looking at the white man, and they see him. Look at the Capitol riots. They're even turning on each other. There's no place for them to go, brothers and sisters. They're dying faster than any other population. This COVID-19 is making sure of that, which I believe is an act of God, the whole thing. Even if they came up with it, then God is teaching them how to destroy themselves, like he has from the very beginning. But brothers and sisters, we need something to unite us. If I take this finger and poke you in the eye, it may bother you. It may sting a little. Just a little. But if I grab this fist and fold my fist together, I can knock some sense into you. That's the difference. If somebody is fighting you, if they're beating on you, you can be as nonviolent and as peaceful as you want to be. As nonviolent and as peaceful as you want to be, you can do it. You can do it. It's your choice. But you will also be as dead as you could be by making those decisions. When somebody's coming against you violently or they're fighting you, they have a chance to kill you. And it's possible that they will. More than likely that you will die. But man, if somebody comes towards you and you go acting as crazy as he is, I'm beating him, jump around and swinging on everything and just acting like you've lost your mind and making him know that he really don't want no part of you, that you kill him so the others can see that you really mean business, he ain't gonna come for you no more. And that's the way you gotta see it. You gotta really, really, really concentrate. Really, really, really pay attention and really, for once in your life, really pay attention and really mean business when you're dealing with that man. You got to really mean business like you've never meant it before. You see, other than that, they're not going to take you seriously. You got to know that. And you can't blame them. You can't blame them if they don't take you seriously. I mean, after all, who's going to take you seriously when you've been killed and the people that should avenge your death, they know the killer, see him every day or pass him or know where to find him. He's still walking around, which is a danger to yourself and then others in the community. Take George Zimmerman, for instance. He should have been dead. Trayvon Martin's father. There's no way that George Zimmerman should be even resting or feeling like that he could come back to the state of Florida to try them in a case. The minute he got to that courtroom, if that were me, because if you've taken the life of my children, my life is over. It's nothing else to live for. There's nothing left for me. There's nothing, because you can't take the life of my child and my woman or his mother. You've taken our life too. I don't care how much money you pay me. You can never wipe away that blood from my hands. Because I feel like it was my responsibility to purposely take his life if that were my child. But you look at Tracy Martin, brothers and sisters, one of the saddest things to see is a brother sitting there feeling sorry for himself and telling the courts that George Zimmerman harassed him, or that he continued to harass him. Well, be a man and kill Zimmerman. If you're a man and you kill him, you aren't about him harassing you anymore. If he killed my child, I would kill him. If that were me, I would. Instead of running around crying, what race does that? What race does that? The Nation of Islam, the original Nation of Islam, he said it wouldn't stand for it. They wouldn't go for it. And they saw stuff going on around the country, and it was affecting black folks. They would stand in if it's something they believed in. Right now, we're talking separation. Integration is over. This is dealing with separation, so it affects your life and mine. Time to unite and fight, brothers and sisters. Unite, fight, and get strong. We've got to get strong. And it's time to go in to live. Time to fight for our existence. Not to go in and die. I'm no martyr. I don't believe in dying. It's not time to die, but time to fight, time to stand up, time to come in, time to stand up and fight. Stop letting this man get away with killing you. Stop letting him get away with it. You got to wake up to that, brothers and sisters. You got to wake up to it. It's time for us today to get serious about some real revolution and some real salvation. We got to get serious about it. We got to get serious against the toms that are selling out our leaders. We got to get serious against all of these backstabbers in the black community that's turning against us. We got to get serious about it. Anytime that the white man does something in our community, we should go in his community and do the same thing. The minute you start doing that, then he'll start doing it to you. But you can't make peace with this man. No way you can make peace with him. You'll lose mind trying to be peaceful with somebody who's murderous. You'll lose your mind. No way for you to be peaceful with him. No. With his own hands inside of feces. This teacher made a 5-year-old, her name was Lassiter. She's from Arkansas. Made a 5-year-old dig his hand in a toilet that was clogged. They was using. Get the feces out of it and discard it with his hands, his bare hands. Now, my first question is, do you have a janitor? That has to work, then that's illegal. So we can charge him on those grounds alone. But the other part of it is, I want to know what was going through that white, racist white woman's fucking mind to make a five-year-old child, dig his hand in the toilet. See, this is what I'm saying. Thing I've been saying all along, if they can do this and they don't have any repercussions, they'll keep doing it. But the minute that somebody, when that happened, if I had been there, or any black person that cares enough for their community, and call every parent to come behind you to beat her ass. Let every parent in Arkansas that is black get a piece of her. And if she survive or make it through it, after we finish making her eat all the shit out of the toilet, because she made the child put his hand in it, I would have made her eat it. And if she survived that, then she will never do it again. But you're too nice. You're too nice. I mean, they can, the white people, this is crazy. brothers and sisters in Texas, this white cop, this white female cop, walked in this guy's apartment, shot him down like a dog. Said she thought she was in her own apartment. I'll never forget it. Some of you are probably familiar with the story that I'm talking about. And it's crazy. This is crazy. This is crazy. I can't believe it. It's just amazing to me. It's really, really amazing to me. It's like I can't believe it. But this particular officer that said she was in her own apartment, she thought she was in her own apartment, walked in and shot. Understand me. Walked in and shot this black brother in his own apartment. Walked in and shot him. Shot him down like a dog in his own apartment. And after she killed this man, she knew she killed him. She went to her own apartment. The brother of this man, when the lady was in the court system, this is the kicker. You may want to hold on to your seat if you don't know about the story that I'm about to tell you or that I'm speaking of. The man's brother, his own brother, hugged the lady and said he forgave her. And the judge, the black judge, both of these are black people that forgave this woman. The judge hugged her and forgave her, and the young man hugged her and forgave her. Now, what I ask you, I'm only asking you these questions. I'm asking you for a reason. What people do that? What race of people do that? Only us. Why do we do it? Out of the fear that has been instilled in you for so many years, for oh so long, this fear that the white man has put in you, this oppression that he's put over you, and the many incidents of the killings that he performed in front of you. And he felt that in doing that, he would make you afraid. But it doesn't make everyone afraid. You have to understand that. You have to understand it. All of us are not afraid. It may make some of you afraid, but not all of us. But there are those of us that we should do unto them as they are doing unto us. There are those of us that believe that. That if they're doing it to us, then we should do the very same thing to them. And to a reasonable and logical person, that would seem pretty strong language. It would seem pretty strong. And I hear you on that. I hear you on that. That is strong. It's very strong. But what you have to understand, you have to understand this. You have to understand that if you want this man to start treating you different and start communicating with you different, you've got to start communicating with him different. If he goes inside your community and he kills someone and you go and get the person that did the killing and make sure they're dead, if you have to go in a jail cell to do it, because you got to be committed. You got to be committed, you know. If you're going to do it, you have to be willing to die and to kill, not just die. As I told you before, not martyrdom, because I think that's the philosophy of a fool, to be a martyr. You're a fool to be a martyr. But to be committed to die so that when they do something like that to you, that you can do the very same thing to them. That's a fact. That's a fact. This is self-defense. Have you ever wondered why all the other cultures and countries around the world, if they open up a store, they open it up in your community. If they start a business, they start in your community. If they're opening up a clinic, they're opening it up in your community. Anything that they're opening up, They'll open up in your community. You know why? Because they know that you're the best consumer in the world. When they say consumer, that means servant. Yeah. Consumer means servant. It's another word, ecological word for servant. It's one who patronizes. You will patronize the white man's business. You will patronize the white man's woman. You will patronize his man, his son, his daughter. And because subconsciously you still feel that the white man is better than you. Subconsciously you still feel that you would like to be the white man or be like the white man. Subconsciously. That's what you feel. And if you haven't been taught better, then you don't have any better understanding or any better self-esteem about yourself or anything of that nature. You don't have it. And it's sad to know that that still affects us today. I'm very sad myself just to know it. Just to know it. It saddens me when I see brothers and sisters that are bound mentally and bound emotionally about very oppressive white racist and white racist dominized country, dominized institution, white racist. You got to say white racist domineering country, white racist domineering communities. That's what you got to say because that's the privilege. If you think that America would give away or stop practicing racism, you got a long, long way, and you're in need of a real lesson. Because with racism comes white privilege. Now tell me, why would the white man give up his white privilege? Tell me that. That's what I would like for you to tell me that. Why the white man will give up his white privilege. I like to understand that so that I can have some understanding. I don't believe that he would ever give up his white privilege. That's the difference in you and I. I don't believe that he'd do it. You may believe it. I don't. I believe that he'd do it because he has too much to lose. That's what you have to understand. You got to understand that the white man has too much to lose, so he would never, as long as he lived, never try to eradicate racism. If he was to get rid of racism in this country, where could he go? Who's going to do the jobs? You're the number one person in the labor force. You're the number one researcher in science. You're the number one practicer of medicine amongst your own people and them. You are. So what would he do? You build the automobiles. You create the manufacturing of the narcotics. You run the FDA. You run the USDA. Where is he going to go? You're cleaning the buildings. You're cleaning the streets. You're working in the water system, working in the highways, working in the airport. He's not the majority of the people in the labor assembly, but you are. If you stop picking up trash tomorrow, he's in trouble. So where is he going to go? And you think he's going to let you go without a fight? Brothers and sisters, use your head. Use your head. Use your head. And we, besides, couldn't go anywhere until we do something about Zimmerman. Why am I talking about these things? I'm opening up because I have this online show, and I want you, when you see this recording, and thank you for viewing it, the one that's out there that's viewing it, but when you see this recording, I want you to tell everybody that there's somebody that is done with the shucking, done with the jiving. I was going to speak pure truth because that's what we need. Think whatever the situation, whatever the subject, speak the truth because if you don't, you'll never have any changes in your life. You let that white man keep killing you, he'll keep killing you. But But the minute that you start going to his community and killing some of his people, then he's ready to stop. There's no other direction. And it's going to happen. Not going to happen because I'm saying it's going to happen. It's going to happen because people are sick and tired, brothers and sisters, of seeing the very same thing. They're sick of it. You think the white man has enough force to watch us? Because if he can't do it, if you decide not to go to jail and shoot it out with him, he's in trouble. There's not enough of them on the police force to watch you. So he's already in trouble. And will you outnumber him? We outnumber him, just black people alone. If the black man alone stood up for himself, the white people couldn't do nothing about it, you'd be free tomorrow. You would literally be free tomorrow if you stood up on your own, if you fought it out with the police, fought it out with white racists, fought it out with the Ku Klux Klan. There ain't enough for them to take care of us. And they can't fight a guerrilla warfare. They fight with rules. We won't fight with rules. Damn the rules. When it comes time to get busy, we wouldn't be fighting for the rules. You got to understand that. And he can't fight a guerrilla warfare. He can't fight without ganging up on you. That's the white man. He'll gang up on you. That's the only way that he would have a chance to win. Other than that, he keeps you divided so he can conquer you. And that's how he's been ruling us. Because four-fifths of the world is dark. Four-fifths of the world is dark. Only one-fifth is white. But they rule us because they divide us and they conquer us. And if you divide and conquer, then you can rule. It's as plain and simple as that, brothers and sisters. This is the first live interview that I've done. I want to thank you for watching, and I pray, my desire and prayer, as they disrupted already my live stream, my desire and my prayer is that you would tell someone that there's a truth speaker on the line, somebody who's not going to water it down. And my purpose is to build up the black man and black woman into a military regiment that can defend itself against ruthless, bloody, racist, white mobs that are attacking us in our community, that are shooting us down at the stores, shooting us down in our homes, that we have no choice but to stand. Real men, real women died standing on their feet, fighting the same person that's fighting them. It's all we could do so that we'll be able to save our children. So that we'll be able to save our mothers and fathers, our grandfathers, our grandmothers, and everyone else around. And that's reality. That's the truth, brothers and sisters. And that's what I intend to give you, the truth. And my desire, my prayer, that I can pull in enough minds to organize in the community, build up defense in the communities, give us the right to defend ourselves. Because I would like to see you and I live long lives. Long life. Last thing I want to say is this. If you think that the white man is supporting us during this coronavirus period because he's so nice, you got another thing coming. It has nothing to do with that, but for the first time, there's been a history shift where the white man has even of that one-fourth, small amount that is ruling the world has even gotten smaller. This COVID-19, they created it on the white man who wants to use it to kill us, but it's been killing him by and large. The only time we die is when we go to the hospital and accept these devils and allow them to put it in our arm. Then you die. You've seen it on the web. I posted it where doctors and nurses and other people went to the hospital and died when that devil put the vaccine in their arm. You don't need the vaccine. You don't need it. It is like the flu. You'll adapt to it. You got 35 million viruses in your body already. A baby can overcome the flu without medication. You have an adaptive system that will immune you to everything that's going on. And that's all I'm saying. Stop believing that man. Stop taking everything he says and running with it and start paying attention. All you got to do, don't pay attention to him. Stop paying attention to what's going on around you and what's going on around him so that you'll be able to see the truth and be able to see it clearly. Be able to see it clearly. The last thing I want to say to you, and I want to thank you, and my desire, my prayer, that Allah will take care of you and whatever greets you in peace, as I did in the beginning, I say the same as I said in the beginning. Peace be unto you. And I said, I love you, brothers and sisters. Peace be unto you. As-salamu alaykum. And I know that your reply to me is wa alaykum salam.
All right, y'all. That's the program for the night. That was a pretty interesting. Just thinking about some of the things that the brother said, you know, hey, we remember Black Wall Street. Well, just with that being said, May 29th, Tulsa, Oklahoma, most of all the militants are heading that way to have a meeting in the Tulsa, Oklahoma area where Black Wall Street was destroyed some hundred years ago. So, hey, the brother is correct. You have to stand up and fight back or you will be a victim. You will be a victim forever, forever. If a bully can slap you and slap you again tomorrow and slap you again the next day, hey, when he see you again, he'll slap you again. Because, you know, we see the police violence is still going on. They're not publicizing it like they used to. The media has slowed down on that. You know, ever since they seen the militants come together in the streets, they knew there was a shift changing and they wanted to put you back to sleep. So everybody's thinking everything's cool because they're not showing you all the atrocities. See, but ain't nothing changed but the weather, and it'll change again also. So till next week, we'll see y'all on that same black channel. That's the Black Militia Nation. Hey, we on Monday nights. 10 p.m. Central, phone number 909-265-9220. Hey, until then, we say peace. Black power. We out.